The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
All right, welcome to Hour 2. It's Backbone Radio, and it is June 14th, 2020. And yeah, big honor here. We've had a chance to speak with Svetlana Lokova, one of the central victims of the entire Spygate massive scandal, America's all-time biggest political scandal. And we were first able to chat with Svetlana Lokova, I guess, going back to December or November of last year. And we've been able to kind of keep in touch a bit and keep interviewing as the Spygate saga has gone on. And we now come across the release of Svetlana Lokova's new book. The new book comes out, and I don't know, we might be the first people to be able to talk to Svetlana Lokova about this on the radio, you know, right here live out of Denver, Colorado. But yeah, the book is called Spygate Exposed. And Svetlana Lokova is a Cambridge academic, a British citizen. Her field is intelligence history, the history of intelligence, meaning the history of intelligence agencies and so forth. And she has found herself as a victim in this gigantic intelligence-related political scandal, which has unfolded over the last 3 years. It's been quite a saga, and we have quite a fighter here with Ms. Lokova and Svetlana. Without further ado, welcome to the program. Thank you for being able to join us tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me again, and thank you for your wonderful audience to tune in.
Well, you have a lot of support out here in what I like to call backbone country, and I see a lot of support from some of our backbone people on Twitter for you and for your efforts. And yeah, big news about your book called Spygate Exposed, and what can you tell us about it? How would people get a copy of it? I guess, is it an online book? Is that how it's being presented right now?
That's right, because of all of the, you know, COVID-related reasons. At the moment, it's a online book, although eventually I hope to publish it in print as well. So you can go on my website called spygate-exposed.com. And hopefully either tonight or tomorrow download the book. But in the meantime, you can sign up to be updated. But hopefully tonight or tomorrow, the book will be available for purchase. And the book is a first witness account of Spygate, which started at Cambridge University in late 2015. And unknown to me at the time, that's where the whole plot was hatched.
And you just happened to be there. You just happened to be right there at ground zero of Spygate. Svetlana Lokova, right there at Cambridge. And by the way, it's the title, Spygate Exposed, and the subheader is The Failed Conspiracy Against President Trump. And I'll just say I was able to look at a little bit of the introduction and the first chapter, and knowing that you're an academic, all kinds of footnotes, and I mean, this is written by an academic historian, but written with, you know, people who follow your Twitter page know that you have that sense of humor that actually has me laughing out loud. Do you know that? That I read your tweets, and I'm like laughing out loud at the sense of humor?
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, it's a horrible chapter for me. In my life, and also obviously for all Americans, it's a horrible, horrible thing that happens.
Yes.
But at the same time, the way we get through that, right, is we laugh about it, right? Because these people are not worth, on one level, actually being taken seriously, because they're just so stupid. But on the other level, what they try to do to myself, to General Flynn, to numerous other victims of Spygate, and more importantly to the president, is actually really horrible. So you have this nasty combination of very stupid but very power-hungry coup plotters attempting something which, of course, they failed at. But in the meantime, they caused so much hurt and so much division, and hopefully at some point this could be healed. And that, I think, is part of what my book is about, which is that it's only through the exposure of their evil deeds that we all can move on.
Exactly. And you bring your tools of academic analysis to this enormous scandal, again, that you are in the middle of, accused of having this torrential affair with General Flynn starting in Cambridge. And I believe, was it 2014 or 2015 was the dinner? What was the exact year that that fateful dinner went down in Cambridge?
Well, that's right. So I had a work dinner with General Flynn in 2014. And at that point, General Flynn was actually the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency for the Obama administration. So funnily enough, nobody reported General Flynn of carousing with Russian spies in 2015 when he was working for Obama. But then 2 years later, when the General Flynn, just sort of a quick reminder that General Flynn originally was a Democrat, lifelong Democrat, and he was Obama's head of DIA. And then he realized in 2016, well, actually in summer 2015 into 2016, that he has to do everything in his power to stop Hillary Clinton. And he said that he is prepared to do anything and work with any Republican candidate as long as Hillary Clinton is not elected, because of what he said was her corruption, her security failures, etc. And so he joined the Republicans and starts advising them. And in summer 2015, he meets that candidate, Trump. And he starts advising him. And then early in 2016, General Flynn becomes an informal advisor, which later formalized one of the key people, actually the key person on the Trump campaign. And at that point in time, of course, it was by no way certain that Donald Trump was going to win. In fact, it was certain that he wasn't going to win. Hillary Clinton was meant to win. But General Flynn felt it was really important to try to prevent that from happening. And that's, of course, the reason why they attacked him so badly. And so nothing happened in Cambridge in 2014. Nothing happened actually in 2015 either. But then in 2016, Halper, so he was masquerading as a university professor.
Stefan Halper, yeah. And I should just, for those new to your story, yeah, Stefan Halper is an American citizen who has a long history working in, would you call it like a deep state kind of aspect of American politics? He's written a few books and has ties to, Ronald Reagan and the Bushes and so forth, ended up in Cambridge. And he's known for black ops and known for sort of dirty tricks around election time. And sure enough, he showed up and went to work on General Flynn.
That's right. And he did some work at the State Department. And his father-in-law was one of the founders of the CIA. And Stephen Halper has a long history of dirty tricks and been involved in elections. And he was involved in the Iran-Contra affair. He was involved with the Palmer Bank. Basically, there's not many scandals that Stephen Halper hasn't been involved in. And that, of course, is the person that the FBI decided to make the confidential human source to investigate the most sensitive investigation of the century, which is the Russia-Trump, the fake Russia-Trump collusion. And Halper, and this is where I come in, was pretending that he was this professor at the University of Cambridge, but he was actually the spy for the FBI and possibly CIA and possibly Hillary campaign. And at that point, he decided to claim that in 2016, so this is, at that point, it was about in a few months before the election, and there was a real possibility that Hillary Clinton might lose the election because of the email scandals, because of Hillary Clinton being, you know, unelectable. And so Stephen Harper was hired by the Obama administration and been paid, you know, significant amounts of money, nearly $1 million, to make sure that Hillary Clinton wins. And he realized in around summer 2016 that there is a chance she might not win. And that's when he goes to work. And he goes to the FBI and tells them that, and I've known this for a very long time, but now we've had quite a few weeks of amazing declassification thanks to
Rick Grinnell.
Right.
Yeah. The sunlight. I'll tell you what. Here comes the first break. But yeah, August 2016, they begin to realize Hillary might lose. Halper leaps into action, and we'll carry on with the story in just a minute with Svetlana Lokova right here on Backbone Radio.
News Talk 710 KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back. It's Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn at your service. And yeah, we are talking to Svetlana Lokova, who was there at the beginning of Spygate, one of the principal victims of Spygate, along with General Flynn, along with Donald Trump. Brand new book just out from Svetlana Lokova called Spygate Exposed, The Failed Conspiracy Against President Trump. You can find it online, spygate-exposed.com. I believe, did I get that website right, Svetlana Lokova?
You're spot on, thank you.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, you know, you've brought a lot of your, you know, there's footnotes galore in this, and quotes from, I see, John Le Carre, A.G. Barr, and many other, the Bible, Mark Twain, in this, and it goes on. How many pages are we talking with Spygate Exposed here?
I think we're talking just under 300 pages, and the idea was to combine. So I'm in a very interesting position, because on one level I am the witness and the victim of Spygate. On the other level, I happen to be a historian of the intelligence services, meaning that I've spent most of my academic career analyzing intelligence successes and intelligence failures, which I, of course, firmly believe that Spygate is one of the greatest intelligence failures in history. Because intelligence the intelligence services were being used for political purposes to, first of all, interfere in the election, and later on to remove the democratically elected president. And so that is why, as an academic, it's very interesting for me to study this. But, of course, as a victim of this, I wish it didn't happen to me, but there we are. And so I think the last conversation we had just before the break was about what was happening in July, August 2016, when there was a realization that there is a chance that Hillary Clinton could lose the election. And at that point, Halper really springs into action. And he, first of all, invites Carter Page to some kind of conference in Cambridge University in June. He invites him in June. The conference takes place in July. And Carter Page is a advisor to the Trump campaign, who recently visited Moscow. And then it transpires that Halper gets involved in inviting him to this conference, and Madeleine Albright is there, who's, of course, like a surrogate for Hillary Clinton. And that follows very, very quickly a statement, public statement Halper made, that if the press, if the media continues to focus negatively on Hillary Clinton, then she would lose the election. And if the media, on the other hand, focuses negatively on Donald Trump, then he would lose the election. So clearly the decision was by Halper and his associates that you have to go negative on Donald Trump. And then on July 31st, as you probably know, they open up the FBI investigation called Crossfire Hurricane
yep.
into the Trump campaign. And they, and then on August the 10th, they open on Kurt Page, specifically Kurt Page, George Papadopoulos, and Paul Manafort, but not on General Flynn. And then on 11th and 12th of August, Halper meets with the FBI. And then two working days later, they open an investigation on General Flynn. And so the recently declassified document by, in this particular case, U.S. Attorney Jensen, in the Flynn case, which is an FBI memo about the investigation into General Flynn, counterintelligence. Counterintelligence means basically espionage.
Right.
Right? So they were investigating a three-star general, just recently retired head of DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, with a top-level clearance. They were investigating him, and of course he was the National Security Advisor for political candidate in the election. They were investigating him for being potentially a Russian spy, which just let that sink in. And they open on him based on what Halper told them. And what Halper told them is a fake story, which and we can see that from the FBI memo recently released, which is that he, Halper, told the FBI that he witnessed me leaving the dinner with General Flynn. Now, the problem was that Halper was actually at the 2014 dinner at Cambridge with General Flynn. So the FBI notes reflect that the witness, the confidential human source, a Halper, couldn't remember the date or even the year in which it happened.
Wow.
So the FBI had to use open sources, i.e. Google, when General Flynn actually visited Cambridge. So in August 2016, we're a few months before the election, and the FBI Googling Flynn, Cambridge, to get the date, because they're super, super reliable confidential human sources, not actually reliable at all. And he tells them, and I quote, that after socializing with other members of Cambridge Seminar over dinner and drinks, the taxi was being called, a cab was called for General Flynn. They call him Crossfire Razor. They love those names, Crossfire Razor. And they call him a cab, which is already kind of funny because he's the head of Defense Intelligence Agency, right? Like, he has his own armored car. He doesn't need a cab to be called by
exactly.
some kind of group of people in Cambridge. And that whilst they're waiting for the cab, the whole group, so the whole 12 people who attended the dinner, was surprised that somebody named Redacted, that's me, jumped into the cab with General Flynn and went in the cab with him to the train station and then to London with him. And that he, the CHS, the confidential human source, Halper, was always suspicious about me because he considered me connected with the Russian government. So that's what the FBI note actually says. None of it is true, but that formed the basis upon which they opened a counterintelligence, a espionage investigation to General Flynn. And if you also listen to what David Nunes, Congressman Nunes, said, who was the head of the Intel Committee, House Intel Committee, when the Russian investigation was taking place, he said that the predicate for the Russian investigation into the General Flynn was that he had a Russian girlfriend, i.e. me. And that's the whole reason why they were able to open the investigation. So, of course, now General Flynn is in the news, because the counterintelligence investigation then got rolled into a criminal investigation, and then he was forced to plead guilty to avoid more things happening to him. But the origins all of all of this are half lies dated 2016.
Yep. And so, yeah, you were redacted in that. You're the alleged redacted Russian girlfriend, and zero truth to any of that. Zero truth to jumping in the cab with General Flynn. This is the flimsy zero ground that they started the entire Spygate operation on General Flynn and then on to Donald Trump. And we're talking to Svetlana Lokova. Hang tight. We're going to be working through the brand new book, Spygate Exposed, right here on Backbone Radio. Be right back.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back, Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn here. We're in midstream talking to Svetlana Lokova here. British citizen born in Russia, brought into this gargantuan Spygate scandal, and has written the definitive book on it right here. It's called Spygate-Exposed.com is the website. You can find it. And I might just ask Svetlana, of all the people who might not like this book, I mean, I think we know that freedom-loving, patriotic Americans will love this book, but who might not like this book in particular? I could imagine there might be some coup plotters that might not be too happy to see the skills of this Cambridge academic brought to bear on their machinations over this past few years. Who might not like it?
I think that's quite a long list. I think Stephen Halper, who portrays himself as this great government informer who was trying to investigate Russia collusion with the Trump campaign. But actually, he was just a dirty trickster. So I'm sure he won't appreciate the book. Then, of course, we have former FBI director, and we have the former CIA director. And then the list goes on.
Yeah, they might not be too excited here. And tell you what, been following, obviously, the saga with General Flynn, and the most recent arguments and the antics jumping way outside the Constitution of Judge Sullivan. But it does seem to me that the coup plotters really don't want to see General Flynn go free. And I do think that rises up even to the level of Barack Obama when he recorded that leaked out message about Flynn and he used the perjury term and all that. Do you have any – why don't they want Flynn to go free? Do you think they're really, really afraid of that freedom for General Flynn?
Well, I think so, because we are now firmly in the last, 3 months before the election. And the nightmare for the deep state would be, because, General Flynn was the most senior person on the Trump campaign that they managed to coerce into admitting something Russia-related, although he actually was forced to admit he lied to the FBI, and then, of course, the Department of Justice withdrew the charge because he didn't lie. But that was their last bastion, so to speak, where they had this thing they could present that for all of the millions and tens of millions of dollars they wasted in all these years and all these numerous investigations, they got a senior Trump advisor admitting to something to do with Russia. Because you remember that, horrible story about Paul Manafort, but he was indicted on money laundering charges, right? Again, horrible story about George Papadopoulos, but he was relatively junior, and he was indicted on, you remember that very complex story, which
nobody
really understand, that he met Mifsud, and Mifsud was a Russian agent, except he wasn't. Nobody can explain that. Whereas General Flynn was a very good hostage for them, right? Because for the last 3.5 years, they could say that their whole investigation was justified because General Flynn admitted to, of course, we know that he was forced to admit, admitted to lying to the FBI on something Russia-related. They didn't care what that was, right? As long as they have him in the pocket, because of what they were trying to do, is they were trying to get President Trump on this by saying that he obstructed a criminal investigation, because remember, originally it was counterintelligence investigation based on Harper Lights, and then they rolled that into criminal investigation by saying that at the point where General Flynn was speaking to Russian ambassador, he was actually working for Russia, not for America, and I was the person who recruited him. That was their kind of narrative, right?
Amazing.
Their narrative.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, you know, the call with Kislyak, with Ambassador Kislyak by itself, of course, couldn't have got them anywhere, because all sorts of people speak to a Russian ambassador in the U.S., including numerous people from the Obama administration. So they had to kind of make General Flynn somehow connected to Russian intelligence or working for Russia. And this was, remember, a Russian collusion story where there were no Russians. So they had to invent them. So that's how they came up with this idea that they linked General Flynn to me to say that I recruited him, I seduced him, falsely say that, and recruited him. And so by the time he calls Ambassador Kislyak, he wasn't working for America, he was actually working for Russia, right? But then, of course, the Department of Justice drops those charges. So the deep state or the swamp, whatever you want to call it, they have nothing left. There's nothing they have left because, you know, Mueller investigation found there was no collusion, except, you know, they knew that on day one. And, of course, we know that from Rosenstein's testimony. We know from actually all of the transcript declassified by acting DNI Granel, there was no collusion. Everyone knew that. But they have to justify the millions, the tens of millions they wasted, number of years it took where they're poisoning the minds of American people with Russia collusion story. But much more importantly, they can't afford to this becoming an election issue. Because actually they said, in effect, that General, that Donald Trump was not legitimately elected, that it was Putin through General Flynn that elected Donald Trump, right? And that's what they said happened in the 2016 election, which is, of course, a lie. So now in the 2020 election, they can't afford for all of that to come true. And that is why, whilst they know that there is no chance that they can go on with the prosecution of General Flynn, they have to drag it out until after the election.
That's how you explain what Judge Sullivan, who brought in swamp lawyer Beth Wilkinson, they're pushing for more time. Oh, they want more time. They would love to drag this football past November 2020. And I might, you know, you're a student of propaganda and of psyops and of the things that intelligence services agencies do to sort of befuddle the minds of the masses. And I've just been noticing, we've been talking a bit tonight on this program about a lot of the chaos you're seeing going on in the media in America and even over there in London, where they're trying to, you know, Winston Churchill is under attack, apparently, in your own England. Would you ever wonder if this PSYOP stuff that I'm calling it is kind of is this the kind of thing that you have seen some in history ever, where intelligence agencies get involved with media narrative production and manufacture, and there's like a deliberate effort to kind of confuse the people, in this case, the American people, about like what is going on, about like anything? Do you see where I'm going with that?
Well, I think it's very sad what's happening in Britain, what's happening across the world with the destruction of statues, right? Because, of course, you know, actually, if you want to have a genuine discussion about people who were of their time, that's precisely why you should have those statues, why you should, you know, as a former fellow, you know, of the Churchill College archive, I would encourage people to go and look at the Churchill papers and at the whole archive, right? And study them. Because what we can't do is be erasing our history. So, for example, you know, the Churchill statue was boarded up a few days ago because they were afraid that people were going to dismantle it. But with all historical figures, all of them are complicated. And if you start with one, you'll probably end up removing all of the statues. But actually, the one way of learning about the history is not by erasing it. It's about actually taking time to study it, but they don't. And so I think it's very, very sad that this is happening, especially because that's something that you know, I myself, of course, grew up in Soviet Union and later in post-communist Russia. And initially we had the Bolsheviks destroying the sculptures and erasing history. And then Soviet Union collapsed and the Soviet statues got all removed. And my opinion that is that actually we can't study history if we're going to erase it. So the only way to understand what happened in the past is by keeping it all open to people and encouraging them to learn.
Excellent point. It's interesting that, you know, one regime comes along and takes down the statues of the last regime, and they're making a concerted effort for that right now. I mean, do you think chaos can be beneficial to some kind of a insurrection type mindset, or who benefits when chaos reigns in a media environment?
Well, I think that, you know, the revolutionary sort of environment is something that, you know, has gone on through history. But I think what's interesting about this is I think that people even who are sympathetic to the original ideas might now take a look at the fact that, you know, clearly majority of the people are also pro-law and order. So I think it's going to hopefully actually end up being beneficial to people like Donald Trump who are pro-law and order, right? Because I think, you know, majority of us all agree with the great ideas, but I also think that, you know, people want law and order. They want safety. And I think what's happening today isn't that.
And that's where I start to wonder, like, why would the Democrat media be doing some of these incredibly unpopular things like defund the police? Nobody wants that. I mean, the poll data has got to be like 95-5 on that. It makes me wonder if they need a big time distraction because people like General Flynn are on the verge of going free, and we might be on the verge of John Durham and A.G. Barr bringing out some indictments for some of these very Spygate plotters that you write about in your brand new book, Spygate Exposed, Svetlana Lakova. And here we come to this next break. We'll have one more segment and we'll start to tidy things up here. We're talking to Svetlana Lakova right here live on Backbone Radio out of Denver, Colorado. We'll be right back after this.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Trapped alone inside your cage.
Little Red Hot Chili Peppers there. All right, and I was just talking to Svetlana Lakova off air, and some kind of a rainstorm is afflicting wherever she is, and we'll see if we can get her back. Her phone just totally cut off, and it looks like this might be the call back in here as we review, yeah, the new book, Spygate Exposed, which, again, you can find online, spygate-exposed.com. And let's see. Yeah, we are back here. Are we back in gear? You have a bit of a rainstorm out there where you are, huh?
That's right. Yes, I couldn't hear you at all, but I think I'm back now. I think the rain has stopped. There was a 5 minutes of excitement.
5 minutes of excitement. Okay. Well, Well, we're, you know, kind of just as we wrap things up here. I don't know if you'd care to offer any kind of a summation of your book. I mean, what can people expect? And when you go onto that website, is there a way to download? Is that how people can get a hold of this book?
Well, that's right. Yes, I'm hoping that I will upload it either tonight or tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, you can go have a look on the website and sign up for, you know, to be the first to know when the book comes out. So the idea of the book is that I'm the only witness to the origins of Spygate, because, of course, you know, the deep state wants us to think that there was a legal investigation into Donald Trump for genuine reasons, because they were accusing him of colluding with Russians. And that started in August 2016. But my evidence suggests that actually the operation, as opposed to the investigation against Donald Trump, started 6 months earlier. And it was hatched at Cambridge University because the deep state swamp creature, Stephen Halper, was there masquerading as a professor. And he made up the whole thing because he was being paid nearly $1 million by the Obama administration. And I happen to know all the Spygate characters. Now, obviously not through choice, because, of course, I didn't realize whilst I was with them in Cambridge University in England that there was an operation, because they were all masquerading as these old professors. But actually the reality was they were playing a coup. And they used a completely innocent visit by General Flynn 2 years earlier in order to make it look like General Flynn was somehow compromised by Russian intelligence. And the reason why they had to do that is because they wanted to say that General Flynn was appointing by President Trump as National Security Advisor, despite the fact that they say General Flynn was an asset of Russia. And again, this is a Russia collusion story, as you know, without any Russians involved. So they used the fact after the event, 2 years after the event, that I was born in Moscow, that I am female, and that I happened to be at a war dinner with General Flynn in order to construct that absolutely ridiculous narrative to drag in Donald Trump in order to take down the president. And I know, I happen to know all the people who were involved. I didn't know at the time that they were involved in the operation, but I know now. And the chief mastermind of that is Stephen Halper, the so-called Cambridge academic, who in fact was the FBI and CIA informer, also been paid by the Obama administration to the tune of nearly $1 million to make all this happen.
Right on. And you have put up one whale of a fight, a courageous fight, Svetlana Lakova. And just from out here in Colorado, we salute you and what you've been doing. And again, all of your writing skills brought to bear right here in this book, the book that the deep state did not want to see come out, the last book they'd ever want to allow out. But it's out there at spygate-exposed.com. And I guess I might ask this as we start wrapping things up. What's your sense? And we've talked before about you being cautiously optimistic. Do you have a sense? I mean, we've had a lot of sunlight from Rick Grenell, from the Jeff Jensen, as you mentioned. And A.G. Barr seems like he's been pretty steady. It's taken a while. But do you think through A.G. Barr and John Durham, we might get some indictments here and that they might not be too far off? Where are you on that?
I think the main thing is obviously there's a bunch of investigation going on and they're going to, you know, go the way the investigation is going. And I think, you know, something that I think many of us would find frustrating, but actually probably is the right thing to do, is, you know, people like A.G. Barr, they follow the rules, unlike the other lord, right, who would basically use and abuse their, you know, DOJ and the FBI in order to launch political investigations. Whereas investigations here, I assume, by, you know, going on numerous levels, including the Congress, including criminal investigations, they're all just regular investigations where they're trying to establish whether or not there was any wrongdoing. And that's frustrating because it takes a lot of time, but it also should, you know, make us all think, feel that the, you know, the frustrating thing is the amount of time it takes. But the good thing is they're doing things properly, it seems. Right? And hopefully the rule of law will be upheld. So in fact, I think, you know, A.G. Barr was quite clear when he gave, you know, an interview a few days ago that if there was any criminality, then that would be dealt with. And that's the investigation they're following. So not only political investigations, they're following where the facts lead them. And so I think we unfortunately all just have to wait and see, but I think we should take comfort in the fact that at least there are now some adults in the room, hopefully, And hopefully the, you know, our trust in law and order and in justice will be restored by those investigations. And hope is that all that remains in this case.
Yeah, exactly right. And yeah, AG Barr, John Durham, they're doing it by the book, as opposed to like how Susan Rice in her CYA memo saying, oh, got to do this by the book to hide information from President Trump and make sure we don't have a peaceful transition of power. The by the book thing does take a while, and that does get frustrating and exasperating and for everyone, especially somebody in your shoes, Svetlana. It takes courage to persevere, which you have done, and onward, right?
Well, that's right. I think that, you know, there have been so many victims of, and I think it's a very important point you're making, because the peaceful transition of power is what differentiates a democracy from a banana republic. And so, of course, that's something that, you know, America for a long time has, that's what's different about America, right? And so the fact that Hillary Clinton was unable to give up the idea that she should be the next president, that's what's been causing these problems all along for the last 4 years.
And sure has.
Right.
I've noticed that.
That is something that needs to be done.
Well, here comes the final bell. But Svetlana Lokova, all the best on your new book coming out. And big salutes from us out here in Colorado. And we'll be keeping in close touch with you, okay?
So thank you very much. And thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell my story.
You bet. A very important story right here.
Thank you.
Together. News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver.